we offer a warm welcome to each of you from Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
There is an old biblical teaching, God can use evil for good. We're going to talk about that in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, when we see all of the difficulties that are round about us, the heartache and the pain, we often ask the question, where is this God of love? We know that your word has spoken so clearly on this matter, and we know that you have taught us that God can use evil for good. So today, as we open your word, we pray, Holy Spirit, that you will be our teacher, to guide us and direct us into the depths of those divine truths, that we may have the answer for all that is happening round about us and how God can use it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 50th chapter of the book of Genesis, beginning with verse 19. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ, during the Lenten season, my sermons will deal with the general theme, I walk today where Jesus walked. My inspiration for this series comes from the popular book now being read by millions of Americans, The Purpose-Driven Life, written by Rick Warren. Mr. Warren writes, since God intends to make you like Jesus, He will take you through the same experiences Jesus went through. This includes loneliness, temptation, stress, criticism, rejection, and many other problems. Why would God exempt us from what He allowed His own Son to experience? Is the question that Rick Warren wants to confront us with. All of us have some very difficult moments. Therefore, in these sermons, we will first discuss our common problems and then see how Jesus dealt with them in His life and what help He has to offer us. But today, as an introduction to this series of sermons, I would like to talk with you about the familiar statement, God can use evil for good. Let me take you to a woman who is angry. She says, if God is so good, why do such horrible things have to happen? For example, I have just been to the funeral of a mother. she leaves behind her husband to raise two small children. My question is, why? Answer that question, and I might show you more interest in this loving God you and so many others talk about in a very pious way. There's a lot of anger in that statement, and a tragedy is that the anger comes from ignorance of who God is. People assume that since God is God, He is responsible for everything that happens. That's a wrong assumption. People assume that we live in a world that has a possibility of being a utopia. That is a wrong assumption. If you are ready to discuss open-mindedly your question, if God is so good, why do such horrible things happen? Let's see if we can find some answers in God's Word. Satisfying to you or not, they are the answers that come from this divinely inspired Word of God. If you turn in your Bibles to chapter 1 of the book of Genesis, you read these words. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness." In other words, what God is saying is that the crowning work of all creation is a human being. After it has all come into existence, then He develops man, the human being, male and female, and He creates them, quote, "in the image of God." Now, as we have said so often, that does not mean that we have a body like God does. God does not have a body. God is a spirit. That's what the Bible tells us. But there are certain characteristics within the human being found in no other part of God's creation that are also found in God. For example, the human being has a mind with which he can think. God has a mind. The human being has a will with which he can make a decision. God has a will. The human being is a spirit or a soul, whichever way you desire to put it. God is a spirit. So in that sense of the word, you and I are created in the image of God. We are people who can think, we are responsible, and we do not cease to be when the final breath is taken. We are a soul, not just a body. We are a soul, and that soul is immortal. Making reference to what the young critic said at the beginning of this sermon, I've just been to a funeral where a mother leaves behind her husband and two children to raise. She is making reference to a very, very sad situation, and who of us do not shed tears and grieve with that family? But the point is that the mother, though we want her to stay here, though it is a place where we feel that she should be, the mother has a soul, and that soul resting in Jesus Christ lives with Him forevermore. That's different than any other part of God's creation. That's the crowning work of God's creation. But now He created us this way, and you may say, well, I don't quite know why He did. I don't know either. This is the way God decided to do it. He gave us a will, and that will is free to say, God, get out of my life. I don't want to have anything to do with you. And that's what we all do many a time during the day. And that's why we see this terrible mess that we live in and have always had that mess since the fall of the human being. We live in a fallen, sinful world. The human being can be, and often is, a spiritual rebel. So God can have nothing to do with him and his sin as far as this is concerned. In other words, the reason that we have these deaths, the reason that we have sin in this world, is because a human being has ushered it in. St. Paul has put it so well. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because of sin, He is simply telling us that the imperfections that we have are caused by our rebellion against God. Now, this should not be interpreted that because a person dies at a young age, that is because she is more sinful than, for example, myself, who lives to an old age. Not at all. It is simply saying that sin ushers in imperfection, and a part of that imperfection is death. And because we are a part of this world, we are affected by it. We are not immune to it. We will all pass through it. That's what death is, and it has been caused because man said, God, get out of my life. Now, God could have, had he wanted to, said enough of that, and he could have discarded us and forgotten all about us. But rather than that, he chose to set up a plan of redemption whereby he could take that sin away from us, at least the guilt of it, and then he could begin to work on making us more Christ-like. And how did he do it? That's the heart of the Lenten message. He sent into this world his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who upon the cross of Calvary suffered and died for the sins of the world. When Jesus died and he said, it is finished, and when Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, full atonement had been made and God had accepted it and sin could be forgiven by grace through faith in Jesus Christ to those who believe in him. That, my friend, is the core of the gospel. And that, my friend, is the message of the Church of Jesus Christ that is today, has been in the past, and will be until Jesus Christ returns again. No one in the church, no matter how high their rank may be, can ever erase the center of the gospel upon which the Church of Jesus Christ is built. Now, because God created the human being to be free and not a puppet, and man chose to walk away from him, we have a fallen world. You say, well, why did God ever create us that way? I, again, don't know. But I know this, he didn't want us to be a puppet. He wanted us to have a free will. And when we fall in sin, he would forgive us. But then he would work with us to cause that will to be of such a nature that I say, I want to live for the Lord Jesus. He is the one who controls my life. It is a human being then, again, to be very repetitious, who has brought sin into the world. That's the answer. Why do we have this mess? Not because God did it, not because he foreordained it, but because he gave men a right to say no, and he walked away from him, and the results are what we see and read about in the newspaper every day. It is sin that brings with it all of its imperfections and brings so much suffering as we experience it, heartache, and all the rest on a daily basis. Maybe Leslie Weatherhead, who once was professor at the University of London, I believe, can help us. He wrote a little book that I would highly recommend. It's still in print. I saw it not long ago. It's entitled The Will of God. In this book, Dr. Weatherhead says that there is an intentional will of God, a permissive will of God, and an ultimate will of God. Now, how does that work? God's intentional will when he created this world was that everything would be perfect. All would be just exactly the way he wanted it to be. Were that the case, there would be no sickness, there would be no death, there would be no crime, and all the rest that goes along with it. But then, again, to be repetitious, he does create man so he can say no, so he had to permit for a permissive will. All right, if you want to go contrary to what I have taught you, I permit it. It's within my permissive will. And the third part of that will is the ultimate will, and that is when in God's time this world is done. Then by grace, through faith in Christ, he will gather those into his kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, and there his ultimate will shall be done. That ultimate will be exactly as the intentional will was. For those who have come and been cleansed through Jesus Christ. Well, if that doesn't help, if you don't understand it from that basis, then let's try something from the Bible. And now I am going to presuppose that you have some understanding of the Old Testament character by the name of Joseph, for time does not permit us to go over this in detail. But you will recall that Joseph was one of the 12 sons of Jacob. Jacob had two favorites, and Joseph was one of the two. That meant that the other 10 did not like Joseph very well, and one day they decided they had a chance to get even with him. So they sold him to a group of Ishmaelites who were on their way to Egypt. If you recall the story, when the Ishmaelites got into Egypt, they found a man by the name of Potiphar who bought Joseph to be his servant. And Potiphar was one of the servants of King Pharaoh, so he lived in the royal courts. Joseph had the ability to foretell what was going to happen, witnessed in a dream. And one day, Pharaoh had a horrible dream, and he couldn't understand it, so he brought in Potiphar, and he said, "What can I do?" And he said, "Well, we do have a man here in camp, right here in the prestigious place where we live, who can tell you what a dream is all about." So Pharaoh had him bring in Joseph, and Joseph told him that there's going to come a time when you're going to have an abundant crop for 7 years, but then there's going to be a famine. And he said, "My recommendation is to you that you save much of that grain that is being harvested during those abundant days." Now, Pharaoh took him very seriously and did exactly that. So Egypt was in pretty good shape. They had a lot of grain. And they not only fed themselves, but they fed other people who were round about. And among those who were coming into Egypt to get grain were none other than Joseph's own brothers. Now, they didn't know that Joseph had anything to do with all this food that was there. But one day, when they got into his presence and they didn't recognize him, Joseph finally said to them, "I am your brother." And the brothers became very, very afraid. When they discovered who Joseph was, what he had done to help Egypt and those around about him, what he could do to them, they raised the question, "Are we going to die?" And so this went back and forth, and the details would bring out other things, but let this suffice. Finally, Joseph saw their fear, and here was these words which I have read as our text. "But Joseph said to them, 'Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Who am I to judge you? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives.'" And that's where that great old biblical teaching comes. God can use evil for good. God does not send the evil. He permits us to go contrary to his will, and it comes. But when it comes, God is then the one who will use that evil to bring us closer to him. Stop here, friend. When evil comes to us, no matter what it may be, and we're going to talk about some of these things that can really be a part of our lives during the Lenten season because it is what Jesus went through. When evil comes to us, it can either move us farther away from God, or it can bring us closer to him. What I experience is that when you and I have turned off God, some say I'm mad at him, we are not very happy people. We cannot live with that bitterness in our soul towards God. For to whom then do we turn? And what God is saying is, "I didn't send it. It's here. It's afflicted you. Now come, let me use it. And let me draw you closer, closer, closer." And the world is full of people who would not listen to God until finally they were brought to their knees, not knowing where else to turn. Was God angry at them? No. God was right there to help them. He is interested in you. So what we're going to do this Lenten season, because he is interested in us, we are going to take some of these afflictions under the general theme, today I walk where Jesus once walked, and see how he handled it and see if it will help us. Amen. Father in heaven, as we look at our world and all the heartache that is here, help us to understand that the one who can best help is none other than our Savior, the one who has said, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." Lord, we pray that through all the voices that are beckoning us to come one place and then to another place for relief, that towering over them all, we may hear the voice of the Savior, and that we may be true to him, listening to what he has to say. God in heaven, answer our prayer. We ask it in your name. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. It's our prayer that today's gospel message has brought you comfort and peace for the week ahead. Estate gifts, large and small, have become a significant part of our ministry. Currently, half of what we spend annually for radio airtime is from estate gifts. Please consider final gifts to your favorite ministries as part of your estate planning. We thank each of you for your gifts and your prayers. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invite you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website is there to serve you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our web address is christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. Hundreds of Pastor Larson's sermons are available to be read or printed. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the last 42 years.